know what really wears me down? When my legs get a huge workout playing Super Mario Brothers. Woo!
Time out! Time out! Come on, guys! Come on!
Ray Ray is fundamental, number one podcast from the get-go. And since you're listening, you got good sense, so let me break it down on this instrumental. It's basketball and all its essences. It's full of pop culture references.
Okay.
Point guards to stretch fours and fives, the last Buffy episode. Did Spike survive? Never mind, let me get on track. Houston had a good run and a team was stacked. We had plans for the T-Wolves, y'all remember? Yeah. Quick question in sync, who's your favorite member? Oops, I did it again. Hold up, wait, best team on the court, probably Golden State.
Yeah.
Curry and them, yeah, they out this world, but ask Ray is top five, he's saying the Spice Girls.
What is up, Internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 98, recorded July the 19th, 2018, brought to you by RayRay.net. My name is Ray Ray. Well, duh, that's why the show's called Ray Ray is Fundamental, right? So, lots going on, really. The WNBA just picked their all-star teams recently, and they had their own draft, just like the NBA did their own draft this year. So let me read off the names, but because this is really important, okay? Team Elena Del Don, she has picked Simone Augustus from the Lynx, Sue Bird from the Storm, Dewana Bonner from the Mercury, Sylvia Fowles from the Minnesota Lynx, Brittany Griner from Phoenix Mercury, Kayla McBride, Las Vegas Aces. By the way, Shea Serrano went on a huge campaign to get Kayla McBride on the All-Star team. And, I mean, she's a really good player anyway, so I think she would have gone on there regardless, but props to Shea for helping her out. Breonna Stewart for the Seattle Storm, Deanna Taurasi for the Phoenix Mercury, Del Don's teammate for the Mystics, Christy Tolliver, and Asia Wilson from the Las Vegas Aces, so that's her team. 11 players, by the way, for each team. And for Team Candace Parker, Liz Cambage from the Dallas Wings, who had 53 points, by the way, the most points in the WNBA regular season game, WNBA game in general. Tina Charles from the New York Liberty, Skylar Diggins-Smith, Dallas Wings, Chelsea Griffin, LA Sparks, Joelle Lloyd from the Seattle Storm, Angel McCautry from the Atlanta Dream, Maya Moore from the Minnesota Lynx. By the way, Maya Moore was supposed to be the captain, but she decided to turn it down. Chinua Ogwumike from the Connecticut Sun, Nneka Ogwumike from the LA Sparks, and Allie Quigley from the Chicago Sky. Why am I mentioning this? Because we need to get their names out there in general. I don't really discuss too much WNBA in this episode, but I'm talking about it now just so you can hear more about it. It'll give them, hopefully it'll give them a big boost. And, you know, we can have more WNBA out there. Here's the thing. Like, people say, well, no one's watching the WNBA. But, I mean, ESPN's really not helping that much when it comes to marketing and promotion. We're getting summer league games instead of WNBA games, which have an impact, you know, towards the playoffs and everything. Like, this, summer league is just summer league. You know what I mean? Like, this is just to get the rookies and the guys that are trying to make the teams a warm-up, basically, for the regular season starts in October. The WNBA regular season, that's a thing. Like, you gotta promote that. You gotta market that. So, I'm really hoping, like, networks get better in that sort of thing. So that's why I'm talking about it now. I just want to help, you know what I mean? Like, just give it a boost, and, you know, hopefully people will talk about it more, and that's how the league can grow, just like how the NBA grew, over the years or so. It took them a while as well, and, you know, the WNBA is probably having their best season ever. They have a lot of very, very good players on the squads, and people are talking about it more on social media. They really should give it more of a chance. And to those guys that keep saying, oh, go back to the kitchen, blah, 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 blah. Dude, you probably suck at basketball, man. And you can't handle these women. You cannot handle these powerful women. So just stay in the back of the line. If you really don't care, then don't care. Then don't say anything about it. But obviously, it gets you really angry about it for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe because you just feel so inferior towards them. So, yeah. This episode, we're talking to Casey Sager. She's been on this podcast twice before. You know her as a legendary, the daughter of the legendary sideline reporter for Turner Sports, Craig Sager. Well, Casey's legendary on her own anyway. But yeah, she's going to discuss me several topics, including the WNBA, as well as like the respect of high school sports. The NBA trades that went on over the past couple days, that was just crazy as well. And is video gaming a sport? I can't even believe we're going to discuss this, but yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. So, right before we get to this talk with Casey, let me remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, find this podcast on Stitcher as well, Android, Anchor, whatever podcast app you prefer. If all else fails, you can find the podcast on rareray.net/fun. Follow me on Twitter at the No Look Pass. Follow the podcast Twitter at Rayray is fun. They cannot fit Rayray is fundamental as a Twitter handle because they only allow 16 characters. So yeah. And by the way, KC is really putting the pressure on to me because this is episode 98, and I wasn't going to do anything special for episode 100, but now I'm going to have to try to. So, KC, I love you. I also hate you. Anyway, interview time. Promo for stuff.
This is Shay Serrano. And you are listening to the Rayray is Fundamental podcast. I think Rayray should change the name of the podcast, but he likes it, so that's what you're listening to.
Rayray is Fundamental podcast, episode 98. Oh my god, that's too many. My guest. You've seen her work at People Breakdown. She's also on the Turner Sports Stats team, and the daughter of legendary TNT satellite announcer Craig Sager. KC Sager. How's it going? It's been a while.
It has been a while. Yeah. 98 episodes is insane.
It is. And the funny thing is that I skipped a year because I had health problems, as you know, and I wasn't doing any of that stuff. I just started doing this again last summer, the beginning of this summer. So, yeah, what's up?
I wonder how many podcasts make it that long.
I don't know. The former basketball owners, who are now the Stars, got to 500 plus. I know that. So there's that. So shout out
really
to Jay Skees.
I really wasn't expecting you to have an answer to that question, but
shout out to Jay Skees.
More like a damn. That's impressive. I'm happy for you.
That is impressive. They're good, man. I gotta get those guys on at some point. I've never talked to them on a podcast before. Although they're really cool guys, and Skees can play ball, by the way. So, yeah, so what have you been up to? I know you've got your website up now.
I do. It's always hard for me to answer that question. In the last, I don't know, like 8 months, I helped run the largest high school football event in the country. It's the Corky Kell Classic. It's how they start off the high school football season in Georgia, and they match up like the top schools from the north with teams from South Georgia, just teams that wouldn't actually face each other until the playoffs. And that's how they start the season. So it just like kind of amps up the drama. And last year, they do 9 games last year on the Saturday, with the 5 games, all 5 games ended up coming down to the final play. So that's actually, we're already starting to work on that again. But so we did that. Mm-hmm. I always edit the media guides for the Falcons and the game day programs. We co-wrote a book with Atlanta United that should be published soon. I ran the largest high school basketball tournament in the country, the Craig Sager Memorial Tournament.
You stole me a t-shirt.
I do.
That's fine.
Fine. Anyone who still doesn't have one is going to get a letter explaining kind of what went down with that. It'll be an interesting story. It'll be worth the wait. But
yeah.
Then I do. I worked the tournament for Turner for the 6th straight year with the stat research team.
Yeah.
I launched my website, thesagerbomb.com. That's been exciting for sure.
Go there. It's good. It's really good. Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of high school coverage of basically every sport in the state, for every school in the state, through Score Atlanta and the AJC. So, I don't know. I was getting a little frustrated with like how much of my work didn't have my name on it because we were contracted out so many different people. So, that was kind of important for me to actually start writing and have my name on it and get to kind of define my own voice and not really worry about sitting off my employers or anything. So,
Wow, you've been really busy. I know you just disappeared from Twitter for a bit, or at least just being low-key, and then you came back with a vengeance, all these rants going on here. So, I saw you defend your brother over, like, high school sports and stuff like that, and you were telling me off the record how this is such a, like, why are they, you know, kind of downplaying high school sports? I mean, it's still sports, basically, right?
Exactly. Sports are sports. Yeah. Like, they speak to us for the same reason. I think that there is, like, this weird little hierarchy. I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but my brother had a friend who was announcing the games for Atlanta United, and they, one of the local high schools, it's actually, like, a high school, it's the biggest scoreboard, at least in the state, mm-hmm. but their play-by-play announcer passed away on game day, and so they needed a backup, and my brother reached out to his friend, and he's like, well, how would that look, like, you know, the official voice of, you know, Atlanta United, you know, doing a high school, covering a high school game. And it's just so silly to me. Like, I feel like you shouldn't have to, you know, need the spotlight that already comes along with, like, the NBA or something to be able to tell a good story. Like, sometimes you can just bring your own. It was really, that was probably the most, like, satisfying part of the whole process with my website was mm-hmm. the first story I debuted with. He was he's an upcoming coach at just, like, a small little school in North Georgia. But, like, no one even in the state really pays that much attention to them. And I did a full profile on him, and within the first 48 hours, like, people in 50 different countries had read his story, and he was just so dazzled about that. Like, they ended up framing the story and hanging it up in the front of the school. And there's just, I don't know, there's something really, really cool about being, like, the only one, like, covering something, giving them, like, the only spotlight they're getting. And I think that maybe, I just, like, when we had that tournament, it was pulling teeth trying to get people there. And these are people that are doing, like, pregame pieces on, like, preseason basketball games, and like 500 other people are also writing that piece. Like, why not, like, go do something different where, like, nobody else is actually covering it? I don't know. I interviewed this one girl who ended up winning the MVP of their bracket at our tournament, and she was just so flustered. It was Malia Fisher, and like, she was just the cutest thing, and she's a freshman, and she's already like 62 or something, and she's just like, I've just never done an interview before. And it was cool to think that, like, maybe one of these days I'm going to see her being interviewed during the tournament or, like, in the WNBA or something. And, like, knowing that I was the first one to do that. Like, there's just nothing that, like, I haven't felt that way ever, like, covering sports.
Mm-hmm. I mean, pros got to start somewhere, right? So they got to start from the beginning, Little League or whatever, or Pee Wee football, and then on to high school, basically, right? So I don't understand people disrespecting high school sports like that.
There are just really, really good stories everywhere. Like, I'm already excited mm-hmm. to write something up on the Corky Kell this year, because there are, like, 50 different storylines that I could name off the top of my head. Just if, like, this event has gone on for, I think, 27 years now. So there are coaches now that played in it, and mm-hmm. now they're coaching all their teams. And the first Atlanta City School is going to be in it for the first time. There's just so many different storylines going on, and they're so exciting. And I don't know. I don't know why people are content just doing the same stories everyone else is doing. There are stories out there that, like, really should be told and that people will enjoy. It doesn't matter if they're at a high school level.
If they're at a high school level, or maybe, oh, I don't know, we've talked about this also, the WNBA. But it has gained some momentum this season, which I love, because they've been playing really well. It's the best women's league out there for basketball. We've seen some great players, some great names. Like, for example, Elizabeth Cambage, 53 points, the most points in a WNBA game a few days ago. They're just getting so much pub, at least on social media right now. And I think the ratings are 56% higher. Like, what else do we need to do to keep this momentum going?
I mean, first of all, the fact that there is a fantastic women's tournament this year. Like, mm-hmm. I think that kind of, I think we're still kind of working off some of the hype from that. But it's just, it's silly to me that, like, you know, people say, well, there's no demand for it, so it's a bad product. And, like, kind of look at Arrested Development. Like, Fox canceled Arrested Development because they couldn't get people to watch that show. It's, like, one of the greatest sitcoms of all time.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get people to watch it there because they kept moving it around to different time slots. They didn't know how to promote it at all. And then CBS just picked up the Big Bang Theory for, like, the 12 seasons. Like, it's not, like, ratings aren't necessarily, like, a direct, like, they don't directly correlate with the quality of a product. Right. And it's crazy to think that, like, with a little bit more promotion and a little bit more coverage, that you wouldn't see at least some increase in viewership. And it's mm-hmm. such a, like, it's out there. Like, it's out, there's so much potential for it to be out there because, I don't know, like, I scroll past a million tweets a day. Not a million. I'm not actually on Twitter that much. So, yeah. I scroll past all the time for on subjects that just don't interest me because why would I talk that doesn't interest me? And so for everybody who's sitting here claiming that the WNBA isn't interesting, like, they sure are talking about it a lot.
Yeah. It kind of frustrates me. Okay, I love NBA Summer League, but I don't love it that much. And I don't know why that's getting airtime instead of the WNBA when it's a real regular season going on that one. Like, I just don't understand. Like, it's Summer League. Like, that's kind of worse than G League in a way. You know?
Well, yeah, I've been to Summer League before. It's
yeah.
Not pretty. But at the same time, like, even, I don't know, I was also in Orlando Summer League, so I know it's a different vibe than Vegas. But, like, people weren't even that, like, engaged in the games at all during that. So,
oh, I sure
I don't know.
Wasn't.
Like,
yeah.
I get the argument, too, like, for people who don't watch the WNBA, that they maybe experience basketball fatigue. And that's definitely been me on, like, quite a few occasions. Like, sometimes you just need a break from it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, the people that are all geeking out over Summer League clearly do not basketball fatigue.
Yeah.
Like, clearly they need more of it. And I don't... I think they could benefit so much. Like, everybody complains that, like, ESPN and everything is just 24/7, like, LeBron James coverage. Like, people complain that it's just the same old, same old. So I don't understand what the harm would be in maybe devoting a little bit more time, like, during SportsCenter, during, like, these other programs, to just talk about the players, because you're not going to get people invested in the league unless they're invested in the players themselves. That's how the NBA works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just marketable people. And I'm sure there's plenty of, like, drama that they could exploit going on in the WNBA. I'm sure that's there. But, like, when people don't even, I have so many people like telling me all the time that they don't even know when they can catch a game. Like, they don't know when games are on. They're always on different channels. It's not a regular channel. They're not telling you ahead of time when they're on. Just start out like 5 minutes a day where you can just like talk about what's going on in the league. Because right now it's just like any coverage that the WNBA gets seems to be like a bit of a footnote. And it's silly to me that like they're neglecting coverage and then continuing not to cover something because it doesn't have a draw. And they're just like the fact that like it doesn't have a draw and it's a sport that they don't cover. Like they're using that as an excuse to continue not covering it.
Yeah.
When you could just like invest a little bit more time. Like it doesn't have to be an overnight thing. People are talking about it. There is a conversation happening. It's obviously polarizing. Like even the people that claim that they don't watch it, they're still talking about it. There has to be a way to actually like capitalize on that. And even if people, I don't know, I feel like the NFL might have done like some of the dirty work getting some of the less progressive viewers, like anybody that's going to boycott like ESPN for showing WNBA coverage, they're probably already boycotting ESPN.
Yeah.
So like, it's not like they're going to take some like massive hit in viewership. And then the argument becomes like the only people that are mad about it are people who are mad about having to watch coverage of a woman's sport. So then you're just an So, like, there's no, like, and then they can, I mean, even if they have to polarize it, even if they have to, like, capitalize on the fact that it makes some people angry.
Yeah.
Like, roll with that. Make it exciting. Make it dramatic. Like, it's definitely there. People are still talking about it. Even the ones that say they don't care about it. They obviously care.
Yeah. They sure talk about it a lot when they say, oh, I don't care about women's sports, blah, blah, blah. Get back in the kitchen. Yeah, you're hilarious.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's so frustrating because, like, you see the World Series of Poker on ESPN, it's like, yo, there's WNBA going on. Or when you even see 5 minutes of frisbee golf on SportsCenter.
Yeah.
I actually caught that. I was like, what the heck? Like, okay, I've
like
played...
The World Series of Poker, I kind of get to some extent. Because I'm not an idiot. Like, I know the ratings matter, and I know that...
Yeah, yeah.
...obviously has viewership. But, like, at the same time, like, I don't know if you could get crazy good ratings just playing a video of a guy getting kicked on the nuts, like... In the mess on the loop, like, would you do that? Would you air that instead of sports? Like, you're still supposed to be covering sports. They're becoming, like, the MTV of sports. It's sports adjacent.
See, now you're giving me an idea because you just mentioned about a guy getting kicked in the balls. I mean, we know all about
I know.
That.
You could be that guy. That
yeah.
Could be you.
Totally. I mean, I don't want
that
it to happen
to
anymore.
That could be your big break.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
If it was, we'll just play it on a loop after that. You don't have to keep getting hit in the nuts.
Well, yeah, but it's still... Hey, I still have some sort of pride here, okay? I still
can't
have some
be a
sort of...
Under.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, it's Sarah Spain from ESPN, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
Yeah, and, you know, we've mentioned, like, even eSports... I know, you can't wait to talk about this one. Even eSports is probably getting more airtime now than WNBA at this point. Like, you see them on CBS or whatever. And here are some people arguing with you that video games are sports. I'm an avid gamer. That's like the everyone knows that I game a lot. And I see that I see those people arguing against you about, you know, video games are sports. I'm like, what? Like, no. I don't get a workout playing Super Mario Brothers. No. Like, I'm
just, I would hope not.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, it's just my fingers doing stuff in my eyes. That sounds dirty, but you know what I mean.
Okay, before I say anything on this subject, I feel like I need to add, like, a disclaimer. Like, anything that I am saying from this point on is in no way diminishing what gamers do, and I will admit that is not my thing at all, but I'm still at least respect it because other people do. Like, I get that there is a market for it. I get that. I'm not saying that there's no place for it, and I'm not saying that, like places like Turner, ESPN, or any, I'm not saying that they should absolutely ignore it. Like, absolutely get in on that. Like, it's sports adjacent. That's fine. I get that.
And Casey, you know I'm a gamer, so it doesn't offend me at all. Go ahead.
Well, no, and, like, that's the thing. Like, it's not, I don't even take as much issue with the idea that that's a sport as I do with the idea that gamers are athletes. Like, that is absurd. And I feel like it's, I don't know, it's almost like the whole, like, argument for, like, what is pornography? Like, I don't know, like, I know it when I see it, though. And so everybody has a definite, like, everyone keeps coming up with different definitions for what a sport is and what an athlete is, and they're just moving the goalposts all over the place, and that's fine, but at the same time, when you're, like, opening up, like, another end of this, like, you're also including crab-boy chess, and I'm sorry, but, like, as soon as your argument for, like, what counts as a sport includes chess, it's not a good argument anymore.
I like chess.
I know you do. I know you do. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not insulted at all. No, go ahead. Keep going.
But no, like, people were sitting there saying, you know, it's just something that, I don't know, and then they were, like, moving around. Like, it had to be, like, you had to be competing against another person at the same time. I'm like, okay, so now we're discounting, like, gymnastics because you have to, like, include, like, you have to add this onto it so that this counts. But now marching band doesn't, because marching band got into the last edition to the definition. Like, just, like, words have different meanings in different contexts. And, like, the definition doesn't just translate into another context. Like, yes, there are definitions in which, like, a game is a sport. Like, there are, but that's not the context we're using. Like, we're talking about, like,
yeah,
sports. Like, I played basketball, softball, tennis, and golf, and I played bass clarinet competitively and did marching band. And played piano for 12 years, but when you ask me what sports I play, I say basketball, softball, tennis, and golf. Even though, we're sweating, like, really badly, like, in those marching band uniforms. And honestly, that was probably why my legs are still in really good shape, like, more so than basketball or softball. Like, that was brutal. But at the same time, it's not a sport. And, like, I would, even though, like, what we were doing, there was, like, an athletic component to it. Like, it's still, like, we were athletes in that moment. And the idea that, like, I don't know, I had somebody insisting that gamers were athletes because he works up a sweat playing Street Fighter.
Oh, that's bull, because I play Street Fighter, and I could beat that guy's ass, probably.
I would like to see that happen.
I'm not even
going
to sweat bullets on that guy. Because I played Street Fighter for a long time. And sweat? No, maybe my hands, sure, but no! I'm not gonna, like, you know, be dripping sweat from my forehead and my face and everything like that. No, that's not gonna happen. No, I don't know. Like, I look at sport as athletic competition, and video games is not athletic competition. And yeah, they're gonna say, oh yeah, but Dance Dance Revolution or Wii Boxing. Well, you're just simulating something. You know, so it's going to involve some athleticism, I guess, but it's not exactly athletic.
Pretending to dance, and you just happen to also be playing a video game right now.
Yeah, that's how I see it. You know, Rock Band, you're simulating being in a bed. Like, that's athletic.
Well, and then you're saying that, like, you guys are going to have to start going to the gym because, like, it's really strenuous on your body to be, like, sitting. I'm like, to be sitting that long. Like, and so you're saying that, like, they can get hurt because they're, like, abnormally sedentary, and that's your argument for them being an athlete? Like, I don't understand why, and I know the people listening to this, and I know the people who've been listening to me bitch on Twitter for the past couple of days about this. I know it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't care. I really don't care. But, like, it's weird to me when they're insisting upon being called a certain thing. Like, that is weird. And I don't understand why it's viewed instantly as an insult for me to say that I don't consider them athletes. Like, can't I just respect what you do and not consider you an athlete? Like, isn't that enough? Like, why do you also have to have this label?
It's weird that's the hill they choose to die on. Like, there are worse things in this world, and it's like, no! Super Mario is a sport!
Like, you're saying such dumb stuff to make this argument. Don't do that to yourself.
Yeah, so I guess sitting in an office chair for 8 hours is a sport? Is that what they're saying now?
I don't know. If you were competing against somebody else, then maybe it's like, I don't know.
Everything can be a competition. Hey, guess who can sit on this office chair longer?
There are a million things that, like, you could do that are more physically, like, strenuous than playing a video game that are absolutely not considered a sport. And it's fine, and they can have it, and they can keep doing it, and I won't respect it. But I'll pretend I respect it. It's fine. They can have that. I feel like it's insulting to, like, actual athletes, like, who actually have to, like, train their bodies like that. Like, to say that, like, you're also an athlete because you have to, like, stretch beforehand because you're gonna, like, getting hurt sitting for, like, 10 hours.
I mean, I play basketball, I play video games, I play chess. I told you I keep a chessboard in my car. I know it's super nerdy, but I do. But, I mean, I don't look at I don't look at chess as a sport. Like, I'm just looking at it and thinking and moving the pieces of my hands.
You can be playing it for sport. Like, that's a thing, too. That's where that definition, would maybe work, and you can use that word.
I guess,
like,
so,
that's
yeah.
not the context we're talking about, though.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. People are weird. They pick weird hills to die on, and I don't even know why we're making this argument. Why are we talking about this again? Yeah, because I chose to talk about it, so that's my fault.
I got called Colin Cowherd for saying that, like, that video games weren't a sport. By the same guy who had, like, just days earlier told me that most high school basketball teams could beat the WNBA All-Star team. And I am not shocked at all that, like, the people, the, like, the Venn diagram of those two schools of thought, like, that there's some overlap there. That is not shocking at all. But.
Hey, dude, make me a sandwich. a couple trades happened in the last 36 hours. I didn't think this was going to happen, but Kawhi Leonard was finally traded to Toronto for DeMar DeRozan. That's basically the main trade. Danny Green also goes to Toronto as well. But, man, what's up with this? Like, I'm sure everyone's expecting him to go to LA at some point, but, you know, Toronto's hoping they could pull an OKC here and, you know, convince him to stay here for the long term. Is this going to work?
I mean, that's exactly the whole Paul George thing. Like, people are using that as an argument for, like, why the Lakers wouldn't have gone through with that proposed trade with the Spurs. Because, and I'm sitting there saying, like, why would you gut, like, I don't think LeBron would want them to gut this team when they could just wait for him next year. And, like, well, can you wait? Like, you don't know what he's going to do. Like, look what Paul George did. Like, exactly. Look what Paul George did. He might end up staying there. Like, he might go somewhere else. You don't know what they're going to do. Like, you don't know. Like, he could come to LA now and then leave, like, during the next season. Like, nobody knows what anybody's going to do. And I don't know. It's, like, I feel like the biggest asset that the Raptors have had for the past 2 years has been, like, their general locker room chemistry, and especially the chemistry between DeRozan and Lowry. I think that if Wall and Beal had half the three that they have, they would be unstoppable. And it's just weird that, like, they fired, like, the coach of the year and then got rid of their leading scorer and, like, he never wanted to leave. He would have stayed there forever. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I get that you kind of, like, it's one of those things where, like, maybe they started, like, talking, and they're like, wait, maybe we actually have pieces to make this happen. And at a certain point, you're just, like, committed to it. And then they're like, okay, I guess we have to, like, do this now. But I think it's kind of funny that they're going to Toronto, honestly.
Yeah.
It's just, like, people are acting like this is proof that, like, maybe all along the Spurs had drama and we just haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Like, probably admitted that LaMarcus Aldridge was his first player that has, like, ever requested a trade before. So, like, this is recent. This level of drama with them is recent. And honestly, I think it just started out as, like, some passive-aggressive crap, and then it just got too awkward to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think, like, that either side wanted it to get to this point, but it's just so weird.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Kawhi Leonard, like, we thought he was supposed to be the franchise player for the Spurs, and suddenly, like, he's gone. I mean, yeah, this entire thing about the Spurs being you know, so stable, like, they don't seem to be anymore. And it's just so weird. It's just so weird.
I mean, even the start of last season, and just as soon as, like, all his weirdness is, like, set in stone. Like, he just set, like, the NBA on this, like, alternate timeline. And I want to go back, but, like, everybody was just waiting to see what he was going to do. And all these people made these decisions, like, with the idea that he was going to be moving. And if he would have just stayed put, then other things might have gone differently, I think.
Yeah, and now Tony Parker is gone. Like, this is so weird. Like, he was at the Spurs for 17 years, I believe. And
yep.
Yeah, it's a different time. And speaking of different times, like, we're in the analytics era, basically, where everything is good if you're doing layups and three-pointers. And here we are. It's mid-range central in San Antonio with LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan. Like, do you think they can succeed in this kind of NBA today? Because, I mean, I always feel that...
I mean, define succeed.
I
think they're going to be good enough to keep, like, Pop from being miserable for the last few years of his career. I know when... How many years does Aldridge have left on his contract?
I think he just signed...
Because I know when he signed...
A three-year extension?
He just signed again? Okay.
Yeah, three-year extension.
I know when he was originally being recruited that Pop promised him that he would at least stay there through the duration of his contract. I have a feeling that Popovich is retiring after 2020. Like, and you could just tell he wasn't having fun with last season at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hopefully this is at least... It's new puzzle pieces to play with. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of like how LeBron functions. Like, even if he's not going to, like, win it all from over there, like, at least it's a new puzzle. It's not, like, the same pieces you already put together and completed that a few years back, and now, like, you're missing half of them, and some of them are warped. Like, this is... I don't know. He has kind of a fresh start. He obviously doesn't want to, like, coach through a rebuilding period, like, in the last chapter of his career. He obviously doesn't want to do that. So,
yeah.
I'm glad they were able to get something out of him. I don't really feel bad for DeMar necessarily, because I think that, like, I mean, he gets to go play for Popovich now,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, the greatest thing you can do. I feel really bad for Toronto fans, honestly. I think of everybody, they're probably the ones that are hurting the most in all of this.
Yeah, I just feel because people on social media, at least, are saying anywhere from 35 to 55 wins for the Spurs next year with that lineup. And, of course, because they're saying,
wow.
well, it's mid-range, that's why. But I always feel, if you're just good at something, that whatever works for you works. That's how I see it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're just so picky. It's like, well, you know, 16 to 23 footers, they can only shoot like 35%. It's 2 points. And if you go back a foot more, it's 40%. Like, wouldn't you be much
like, I know
off?
You're yeah. doing this voice as a joke, but I hate you right now. Like, I hate that so much. I feel like nobody knows how to, like, even watch a game anymore without, like, thinking of it in terms of analytics. Like, just watch a game. Like, that was... I mean, we were talking about it earlier. I took a step back for a little bit and, like, just getting to, like, come back and, like, watch the playoffs and,
mm-hmm.
like, not actually be, like, covering them for anybody and just get to, like, find, like, what, like, Hawks are garbage right now. That's fine. Like, I don't, my personal level of enjoyment with basketball, like, honestly has nothing to do with, like, who my actual team is. Like, I can still find, like, a million reasons to enjoy it. Like, just watch a game. Just watch it for a minute. Like,
yeah.
They're, like, analytics are never going to tell the whole story.
Yeah, like, just go with the flow of the game. Like, when, like, pretend I'm out there playing ball, which I really haven't done in a while, but when I'm out there playing ball, I don't think of, like, going to the two or three-point line, whatever. I just go with whatever feels comfortable with me. If I'm going to shoot a free-throw line shot, I'm going to shoot a free-throw line shot. It feels comfortable for me, right? Like, if I'm going to shoot a left-hand layup, which is, for some reason, 20% less than my right hand, well, I'm going to go with my left hand. That's how I feel. I feel what I'm comfortable with. That's how I see it, you know? I wonder if they kind of use that in, like, other aspects of their life, too. It's like, oh, I think I could have more orgasm if I do this 20% of to the right side or whatever. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
That's
just
awkward.
Ruined, like, so many different things for me all at once there.
That's what I do. Is
I just think that, like, I don't know, the league... The NBA evolves faster than any other league. Basketball evolves faster. It's all these, like, micro adjustments.
Yeah.
Like, there's adjustments happening at every level all the time. Like,
yeah.
There's always, I don't know, people freak out about Golden State. There's always an antidote.
Yeah.
And maybe it isn't here next year, but maybe it's there the year after that. But, like, there's always an answer to something. And who the hell knows? Maybe it is LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan.
And they always say that. Why can't you keep using this lineup? Wait, dude, they get tired, yo. They need rest, too. That's why you have 15 guys on a team. You can't keep using that lineup.
This is Ty Windisch of the Time Out with Ty podcast, and you are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, live. Not really.
Carmelo Anthony traded to Atlanta for Dennis Schroeder, basically. And Carmelo's going to be waived, and he's going to go to whatever team he wants, probably yeah. Golden State, just kidding, but probably Houston. So, I know you covered the Hawks for the last few years, so yeah. What's up?
I mean, Schroeder was always gone. It was kind of cute that, like, Schlenk and company were all, you know, no, we're going to maybe try to run some, you know, have some lineups out there with two-point guards. He was never going to be out there with Trae Young. Even if he was around, he was never going to, like, mentor Trae Young. Trae Young is, like, the first, I don't know, I know we got Jason Terry with the 10th pick and Rumel Robinson with the 10th pick in 1990. But other than that, like, we haven't taken a point guard, like, in the top 10 since, I think, Armin Hill in 1976. Like, this is the first time that we've, like, gone in on a point guard, and he's obviously like the guy that they want leading this team. Mm-hmm. And it's a rebuild. Like, you got to get Schroeder out of there, and you just got to let like Trae Young get as much experience as he can now, because there's still things that like can be accomplished in the absence of winning. Like, you look at the Sixers, like they completely rebranded themselves and then carried that new identity to the playoffs. Like, the Browns threw that damn parade when they went 0-16 and raised a bunch of money for like the food bank. Like, there's still, you can still, like, establish a culture, and you can still, like, just establish an identity, like, during a tank, and they have to find, like, a way to get something out of it. And Schroeder just, I don't know, like, I wanted so badly for that to work out, mainly because I wanted things to work out with Budenholzer, and I knew, like, he was the guy that put all of the Hawks' eggs in Schroeder's basket. And even during Teague's whole final season, everything that was happening, that was all around, like, Dennis being the future of the team. Even when he was playing Teague, like,
yeah,
he knew that there was like a limited amount of time left to actually instill some humility in this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to do that, like, as long as he possibly could. And all along, like, he just wanted to start. He wanted to start. Well, then he gets to start. And then he gets, like, I can't remember what he got arrested for. It was, like, punching somebody in some dumbass parking lot. But, like, he just didn't really exhibit any, like, leadership skills at all in this past season. And that's just not who he is. Mm-hmm. And then he all of a sudden wasn't happy again. Like, he's not happy just starting. Now he wants to be starting for a contender. Well, I mean, how many teams are actually contenders? Like, five, six, maybe? Yeah. Like, how does he possibly think that there aren't, like, way more than five or six point guards out there that, like, are far more deserving of that than he is at this point? And I'm not saying that he's never going to get there, but he isn't there yet. And there's a difference between, like, being hungry and being entitled. And he's just always been, like, so grumpy pants all the time. Like, I don't know. I feel like, honestly, like, him being gone now, like, I'm not really sure what Budenholzer's legacy is anymore with the Hawks. Like, it was pretty much that and, like, the Tim Hardaway Jr. trade. They were, like, his big moves. And everything that he did, like, it's been erased already. And obviously he's established himself as an elite coach. But, like, we have nothing to show for any of that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's fine. Like, I feel like Schlenk is the right guy for this. I feel like he's, I don't know, being kind of weird lately and, like, making some sneaky moves, and I like it. Like, let's get weird. Let's get some draft picks.
Yeah.
I'm ready to watch, like, a well-executed rebuild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, I love the Romeo Robinson mention. Cool. I appreciate that. And in 2004, 2005, whatever, you know, Atlanta had a chance to draft a point guard, but instead they drafted Marvin Williams and
yeah, I wasn't going to directly talk about that.
So,
but yeah, that was like the subtext of all of that. Like, we pass on point guards. Like, this is why this is kind of fun and exciting and something new for us, because right, we actually got a point guard.
Right. So, on the other side, at least OKC is going to save some money. I think like $70 million of excess tax money or whatever. And Carmelo's basically getting waived by the Hawks. Although, we talked about this on Twitter, where he should play one game, just like Rasheed Wallace did for the Hawks in 2004.
I was going to say, if you don't mention Rasheed Wallace directly after this comment, we are not friends.
And, you know, like, dude, Rasheed Wallace averaged 20 points, 6 rebounds, 5 blocks, and 42 minutes per game for the Hawks.
Just, we should retire his jersey.
He totally should. Number 36. Who's ever going to wear 36 ever again for the Hawks, right? So,
Yeah. I want, like, I don't know who the hell is eventually, I'm going to have to buy it for myself because I have been asking for my birthday for like the last like 5 years. Like, all I want is Rasheed Wallace Hawks jersey.
Don't they do customs? That doesn't feel the same, but still, like, I mean, you know, I guess.
I want an old one that's been in a box in someone's garage for a while. Like, that's the one that I want.
Yeah. So Melo's going to get waived most likely, and he's likely going to go to Houston. And that's going to be an awkward reunion with him and D'Antoni as the coach over there. God. So, yeah. I think people seem to kind of forget about that side of the story. Because,
I definitely forget about
that. Yeah. Like, the reason why D'Antoni quit New York was because of Melo.
It's pretty forgettable.
Yeah. And now they're going to be reunited. But he's no longer the number one guy. It's obviously James Harden. And there's still Chris Paul ahead of him. So it's obviously Melo's going to be the number three guy.
Yeah.
I guess it might work now, probably.
I don't know. It's some, like, I keep expecting, like, a revenge season from him. Like, especially with everything that happened in New York, I really thought that, like, his next season was going to be, like, a screw you, Phil Jackson season.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that, and it did not happen, obviously.
I mean, if he doesn't get
I don't think he inherently has to be that guy. Like, I think that, like, at least in his mind, he's the kind of guy that will, like, do what he needs to do, especially if he can, like, prove a bunch of people wrong in the process.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know. Like, as soon as they assembled that OKC team last year, like, I felt like I was going to get, like, a cavity watching that. Like, it's too much.
Hey, if you don't get that D'Antoni Melo reunion, I'd like that Jeremy Lin Melo reunion in Atlanta.
I know, right? I drafted Jeremy Lin when he was owned in like 0.1% of fantasy leagues. I was bartending at the time. Like, I would ignore absolutely everybody and be like, watch what this guy is doing. Like, that's another fantasy point for me. That's another fantasy point for me.
Oh, man.
Like, I shoved Jeremy Lin down so many people's throats. I'm kind of psyched about it.
You know what's the weirdest thing? Because when Linsanity happened, suddenly, like, me being Asian, my stock kind of rose. Because, like, some people are calling me for radio stations, like, hey, let's talk about Jeremy Lin. I'm like, he's Chinese, Taiwanese, I'm Filipino. That's kind of different, but sure? Like, I'm not going to say no, but it's kind of weird. But
that wasn't like when we became friends, was it?
No. No.
Yeah, a couple years
after that. But yeah,
I had high hopes for Lin in Brooklyn, just because, I mean, Kenny Atkinson was the guy who got him going in New York, and I mean, the Hawks, that was like, that's crazy. I don't think anybody realizes, like, the caliber of assistant coaches that the Hawks have had the last few years.
Yeah,
and like, we had Quinn Snyder, we had I mean, Nevin Spehey is back coaching Maccabi Tel Aviv now. I mean, Kenny Atkinson, I wrote in a piece, I'm like, it's only a matter of time before Kenny Atkinson gets hired as a head coach. And then, like, a month later.
Yeah.
Darvin Ham will be a head coach in this league. I'm speaking that into existence. That is my dude. He just has, like, the right, like, presence for it. Like, he's, like, very intimidating, but also calming at the same time.
Also, he'll break a backboard.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's so nice. So nice.
I haven't met Darvin Ham yet, so I mean, but I'm sure he can dunk on me and break a backboard, so that's cool with me.
He was my first interview ever, actually. I'd never done an interview before.
Oh.
And like, there was part of me that was geeking out a little bit because my mom went into labor with me during a double overtime Pistons Hawks playoff game.
Uh-huh.
So like, the Pistons have always been like my little side team, and I've definitely gone through waves of like extreme Pistons fandom.
Right.
Like, my ex-boyfriend in college named the girls Sheed and Big Ben. But, yeah, so Darvin Ham was on that team. And so I was like, hell yeah. So I get to talk to Darvin Ham. And he was so, so, so nice. And they had like, messed up the scheduling for it or something. And he was just like, no, like, let's go ahead and do it anyway. And, like, he was super nice. And then my dad ended up working a Hawks game, like, a couple weeks later. And was like, hey, I heard you talk to my daughter. He's like, that was your daughter? Like, I should have known. And ever since, like, he's just the nicest dude. I'm so bummed the butt took him with him. But, like, but yeah, I was kind of hoping that, like, Kenny Atkinson and Jeremy Lin together would be, like, magical.
Yeah, Lin got hurt the first game of the season. That's just awful.
It was not meant to be.
Yeah. Before we end this, I also want to say that my first face-to-face interview was with Jason Terry, actually. in Vegas. So here's the thing. It was 2010 Summer League. LeBron, Bosch, and Wade just got together. It just happened like a few days earlier. So I talked to him about that. And he looked really pissed and said, they're going to have to get through Texas first for this championship. Guess what happened in June? The Mavericks won the title. He knew. I still have the interview on my website somewhere, so I'll link it to it when after the podcast. But yeah,
that's amazing.
That's just crazy to me. Yeah. That's it. Wow, we've gone longer than I thought, but that's okay because you're awesome. Casey, go ahead and publicize your social media, your website, whatever else work you have on the internets. Go ahead.
Well, most of my content is over at thestagerbomb.com now. I'm still trying to kind of gather things from other sites and maybe have a little bit more of a portfolio up there. But I've got even like some recipes and some rants and some long-form features. Look into some more stuff with it soon. That's thestagerbomb.com.
Boom, boom, boom.
And you can follow me at... Yep, you can follow me at The Sager Bomb.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of stuck with that name now. Like, I feel like if I would have abandoned it maybe like 8 years ago or something, I could have gotten away with it, but I kind of have to embrace it now. So.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Like, I feel like I'm past the no-look pass now. I just want Ray Ray as my Twitter name, but someone's parked on that name, and I'm so mad about it at the moment. So.
Well, yeah, somebody else is at Sager Bomb, so that's why I had to be the Sager Bomb, because she doesn't even use her account, so...
Yeah. Jack on Twitter,
like,
man.
Well, Jack... I only put her down. Like, I am the Sager Bomb. I don't know who this chick is, but...
Yeah, Jack on Twitter, man. Like, do some cleanup. Get Ray Ray out of there. Like, give it to me. Because I've way past the look past. Everyone knows me as Ray Ray at this point. Well, of course they do. But, like, you know, it's been kind of my nickname, like, my entire life. So, yeah, just give that to me. And I wish I signed up on 2007 or whatever. So, oh, well. That's it. Episode 98 done. Sorry that you weren't on 100 though. I mean, you probably could have waited 2 weeks or something for that, but you know, I kind of wanted to get you on as soon as possible. So, thanks for doing
that's
this.
Quite all right. You have to do someone big for episode 100.
Don't worry. At least you got 69 right.
Yes, I did. I was telling my brother earlier. He's like, "What podcast are you doing?" I'm like, "It's with Ray Ray." Like. He's so nice. He saved episode number 69 for me. I still remember that. Thank you.
Gosh, I'm so mature. Thanks for listening,
You're
guys.
You're such a peep. Game over,
yeah! Hashtag blame Ray Ray.